Thank you, Andrew. Let's see. Starting at this time, I go until the clock gets back around on the bottom again. I mean, I always aim for the bottom of the hour here, so looks like I got 1 hour and 10 minutes to go here. Maybe I'll get her done for once, huh? How would that be? Let's look to the Lord in prayer one more time. Thank you now, Father, for this time in our service. We've sung, we've testified of your goodness to each of us. Now we turn to your word and we look to you as our teacher. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to comprehend the truth. I pray that we would have hearts to hear the truth and wills to live the truth. We just commit ourselves to you. We thank you for the clarity of your word. May we see what you want for us. We thank you in your name. Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, we ended in Ephesians chapter 5, where we had spent much time on wives and little on the husbands. How many of you caught that? My wife did. I heard that on the way home. You know, you spent all that time talking about wives. The cheated the husbands. Well, cheer up, boys. Cheer up, boys. We have some things for you. Andrew, let's call this one Marriage, One Final Look. Marriage, One Final Look. And as we continue this evening, we will try to balance things out as we look at different scriptures. But just by way of review, without us going back to Ephesians chapter 5, where we were 2 weeks ago, we saw for the wives, there were three particular words: submit, be subject to, and reverence or respect your husbands. We saw that for the husbands, there in Ephesians chapter 5, there were two particular spots. Same word is to the husbands, and that is love. The husbands we saw in verse 25, they are to love their wives as Christ loves the church. And the second thing we saw was that husbands are instructed to love their wives as they love their own bodies. And that's a pretty good, you know, if we love our wife like we love our own bodies, she'll be in real good shape. Because I'll tell you, we all love our own bodies, don't we? Right? Even you women. So, that's where we ended in Ephesians, but I want us to move on this evening. And tonight I want us to move from Ephesians 5 to Colossians 3. In Colossians 3, I want us to notice once again, we'll come back around for you gals. In verse 18 of Colossians 3, we see here that Paul's words to the women, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit or fitting in the Lord, as it is fit or fitting. What does that mean? As it is fit in the Lord. One source of material that I looked at suggested that what Paul is suggesting here is, since you have accepted the Lord, submit to your husband. That's what's fitting. As a believer, our lives have been changed. Old things passed away, all things become new. Submission is not a part of our old nature.
That is a part of our old nature, isn't it?
No, it's not. We don't want to submit to anybody. We don't want anybody telling us what to do. But when we accept the Lord as our own personal Savior, He enables us to do that which does not come naturally to us. Wives, submit to yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. This is the right thing to do as a Christian. It's fit. This is the way it ought to be. This is God's design. Now, next verse. Men, husbands, here it is again. Love your wives. Is that all Paul can say, love? Well, he pretty much says to the women, submit, submit, submit. And he tells the men, love, love, love your wives. But I like this next phrase, and be not bitter against them. Ooh, now he's getting a little bit personal, isn't he? Be not bitter against them. Be not bitter against, what does that mean? Do not be embittered. I guess I better say instead of I am. Embittered, bittered. Not enough sleep this afternoon, I'm sorry. Embittered, bittered.
Change your word.
Huh?
Change your word.
Change my word. Here's the other one. Irritated. That's included in there. Husbands are not to be irritated at their wives or bitter. Well, why would Paul say that? As I looked at some references, it seems to be a characteristic of the unregenerate heart to be bitter or have bitterness in your heart toward others. Where'd you get that? How about Romans chapter 3, verse 14? Romans chapter 3, verse 14. He's talking here in this context. Remember how that back at about verse 10, it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeks after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Now, who's Paul talking about there? The unsaved person. The unsaved person. No one seeks after God. None righteous, verse 10. No, not one. That's not as he looks at the hearts of believers. This is God's description of the unsaved people. Look at the next verse. whose mouth is full of cursing and what? Bitterness. That's characteristic of the old, unregenerate life. And Paul here says, husbands, love your wives. Don't be bitter against them. Don't be bitter toward them. And in Colossians 3:8, he says, and now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, bitterness. Bitterness. Men, what's your attitude toward your wife? But she constantly upsets my apple cart. She constantly does things that she knows I don't like. And she just tries to get under my skin. Husbands, be not bitter, irritated with your wife. Now, men, I'm going to ask you, is that a challenge or is that a challenge?
Challenge.
It is a challenge. Well, you say, Pastor, don't you have everything all under control? No. I bleed when I cut my skin just like you do. And I struggle with the same kinds of things that you do. And so here's Pastor standing up there telling you men, you ought not to. No, I'm saying we ought not to as men. That's what I'm saying. Now let's move on to 1 Peter. And John has covered this in recent weeks in Sunday school. We're going to review, reflect on it once again. And Peter and Paul, man, I'm telling you, they had the same instructor. Same instructor. Would you believe it? That just like Paul kept telling those women to submit to their husbands, what did Peter write? In 1 Peter 3, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. So we see here, be submissive is the instruction that God gave. Why? Who said? How come I, as a wife, have to be submissive to my husband? It's just not fair. It's just not fair. Do you know where this came from? How about we go back to the book of Genesis, where we see the origin of marriage between man and woman. And God instituted marriage. First he created Adam, and then he took a rib of Adam and formed Eve and brought the woman to the man. Beautiful picture there. Man just didn't go figure this out for himself. This is designed by God. This is blessed by God. Our Lord attended marriages in the New Testament. We know that, don't we? He performed his first miracle where? At a wedding. So, this whole idea that, well, this is a man, something man came up with it. We can take it or leave it. We can enter into it. If it doesn't work out, we can divorce and just go our own way. You know what? We are tampering with God's first ordinance ever. Marriage. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse, this was after Adam and Eve had sinned by eating that forbidden fruit. And God began communicating with them and telling mankind, here's the consequences of your sin by disobeying me. Notice he said here in verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, or pain during the pregnancy. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall what? What's your Bible say? Huh? Rule over thee. God, that is a God-ordained position that Paul spoke of in Ephesians chapter 5. The husband is the blank of the wife. What is he? He is the head. That's from the very beginning. And that's why the woman is to be in subjection to her own husband. He's her head. God designed it that way. And as we've pointed out, these things have nothing to do with suggesting that one is inferior or superior to the other. This is just the organizational design that God made. Man's the head. The woman submits to his responsibility, his leadership, and that God-given position he holds. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, in conjunction with this Galatian or Genesis portion, 1 Corinthians 11, 3 said, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So, we find that Peter has in, as we go back to 1 Peter, starts out with that familiar instruction, but he reminds the wives here, especially in verse 1, that this submission to her own husband can have an effect on an unsaved husband. And often it does. As it says, wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, in other words, they have no interest in the things of the Lord like you do, they also may, without the word, be won by the behavior. That's what conversation, that's not words, but the behavior of the wives. If any obey not the word, they may, without the word, be won by what they see lived out in the wives as they are subject to their husband. But some women feel they need to be preaching at their husband all the time. Peter said, that's probably not the best way to win that husband that has no regard for the Lord. Why don't you just live a life that is so suggestive of the reality of Christ in your life that he can't help but get the message that the Lord you love is real, and there's a good chance that he might take an interest and want to find out more about that Lord rather than you just preaching to him all the time. Now, as we move on, we see in verses 3 and 4, he says, whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. What's Peter telling us here? Women, spend more time focused on what? Huh? Our hearts, rather than our hair. Used to be some up there, but it's gone now. But anyway, spend more time on what is lasting and what is real. Whose adorning, he says here, don't be so concerned about plaiting the hair. I like that word. Sometimes it looks like it's plaited right down or plastered. But he said, don't be so concerned about that wearing of gold, excuse me, or of the apparel. And I know John mentioned this too. Pastor, are you and John suggesting that Peter is teaching here that a woman needs to just go around looking like a tramp? And that it's not good that she fixes herself up once in a while and drags a brush through her hair? Is that what Peter is saying? Just get up in the morning and don't worry about how you look. No, but what he is saying is, ladies, don't let your outward appearance be the thing that you are more interested in with regard to having a right relationship with your husband. If that's not it, then what should I be interested in? I ought to be interested in the hidden man of the heart. Yeah, that's one of those generic terms. You know, the hidden woman of the heart, let's put it that way. That which is not corruptible. You see, you can get your hair all fixed up and go out on an afternoon like about 5, 6 o'clock yesterday afternoon. What's going to happen to your hair? All that work you spent fixing it up with those gusty winds, and it's to all avail. He said, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Peter said, women, spend more time developing the inner qualities than dressing up in the latest fashions, because it's the inner things that really pleases God. A meek and quiet spirit. It seems in verse 5, what Peter is talking about is this. He says, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Doesn't mean that she was worshiping him. That's just simply a title of honor. She recognizes that he has a God-given position. He's the head of her home. She called him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. It seems as though what Peter was teaching us here in this fifth and sixth verse is that as he was writing to the people who would be reading this, readers, this isn't something new, encouraging you to really develop the inner spirit and let that be your greatest beauty. Don't be so concerned about the outward appearance. He says, the ladies of old, that's what they aimed at. And that would be the outstanding feature, the presence of the inner qualities as they submitted to their husbands. Peter said, this isn't anything new, ladies. This is how godly women have been honoring the Lord down through the ages, by spending much more time dressing up the heart within rather than just the outward appearance. Well, let's go to verse 7. And verse 7 says, likewise, you husbands. Okay, it's our turn again here, isn't it? Likewise, you husbands. It's like Peter's saying, I haven't forgotten you, men. We've got some things here for you as well. The first thing he tells them to do is to live with them. We can stop right there. Are you living with your wife? Sometimes, you know, you can be under the same roof. Are you living? Are you dwelling with your wife? How are these men supposed to be living with their wives? Dwell with them, he says here, according to knowledge. What's this mean? This means wisely or with understanding. What do you mean, Pastor? Dwell with them according to knowledge, with understanding. I believe what Peter is saying, a husband is responsible to learn his wife. You live with her with understanding. Men, do you know what pleases your wife? Do you know what ticks her off? Do you know what makes her feel, what's the word I'm looking for here? Not love. Secure. That's the word I'm looking for. Do you know how really to cause her to be in turmoil? That's what I believe Paul or Peter is saying. Husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. This is your life's partner. Learn everything you can about her, and then live accordingly. That doesn't mean, well, I know she doesn't like this, 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 and so that's what I'm going to do to her. No, you dwell with her according to knowledge. It almost seems like this ought to be in Scripture, but it's not. I often, in my marriage counseling, suggest this. Happy wife, happy life. Almost sounds scriptural, doesn't it? Happy wife, happy life. And we see here, I believe this is a part of it. Men, what makes your wife happy? What brings joy, peace to her heart? Live with her according to knowledge. If you know what it is she wants and needs, let's do it. Let's give it. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Well, it'll spoil her. No, it won't spoil her. That's the instructions God's given us how we're to be a good husband. Dwell with them according to knowledge. That's not all, men. Not only are we to learn everything we can about our wives, we are to give honor unto our wives. We are to give honor unto our wives, or show honor unto our wives. Why should we do that? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what, man. Your wife is your own personal treasure. She's no one else's. She's yours. And you show honor to her. Your treasure. Does she know that you consider her your treasure? She ought to. Give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Oh boy, I can just hear the women's livers kicking up their heels about that. What do you mean, weaker vessel? I didn't say it, the Lord did. As we look at this word weaker is universal in its meaning. What do you mean, weaker? Well, let me just show you what I mean. It is a universal usage. Matthew 26:41, we see this same word used. Here's what we mean. Jesus said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is what?" Huh? Weep. That's what we're talking about. The wife. Weaker vessel. This has nothing to do with the teaching that she is inferior in any way. I realize in this society in which we live, when people have no clue what gender they are, they don't know, am I a he or a she or a shim? She and him combined here. Who am I? What am I? You don't have to be a college graduate to just generally speaking in the workforce horsing heavy things around. Who generally is the stronger of the two? Men, males. God made us that way. That doesn't mean that She is a second classer down there. No! If you haven't figured it out, God made men and women differently. And God didn't intend for the women universally to be the ones who support the world and support the families and everything else. God designed them. They are the weaker vessels. Listen to, I didn't bring it with me. I'll read it to you the next time. A lexicon, and it had the same kinds of things here, but I like the wording that he used. Once again, there's no thought of, well, this means that he's saying she's inferior. No, she's just weaker. And you honor her. How can you honor a wife, giving honor to her as you see she is the weaker vessel? Can I just give you a suggestion? My wife tries to help me out because I've had some back trouble, but we have some jobs around the house that I like to do because I know this is heavy. One of them is we have a huge granite turntable on our dining room table. I like to, when my wife is going to change the tablecloth, I don't like her to pick that thing up, haul it over here, change the tablecloth, have it all set when I come home. See, I can do it. I know you can do it, dear, but it's heavy. Let me keep you from doing that because you're the weaker vessel, but you got back trouble. That's okay. We have baskets of clothes. Friday is laundry day at our house. If you ever want to know what the Wickerts are doing, on Friday evening after supper, we're having a folding party in our bedroom, on the bed, as we're folding mounds of clothes. Well, she could carry those up the stairs, but you know, I like to carry those up the stairs for her. And quite often I tell her, oh my goodness, this thing was heavy. Can't she carry them up our stairs? Yes, but I am to be giving honor to her so I find ways that I can do some of the heavier things, some of the more complex things. I know she can do it, but I like to do it to honor her in that way. That's just a couple of illustrations of what Peter is mentioning here. As we look at this, he said here, why? For you husbands, why should I dwell with them according to knowledge? Why should I honor her as the weaker vessel? She doesn't seem to appreciate it at all. I'll tell you why. For both husband in verse 7 and wives in the first 6 verses, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Do you mean, is Peter saying here that if I as a wife am not submitting to my husband in the right spirit the way I ought to be, if I as a husband am not dwelling with her according to knowledge, letting her know that she is the treasure of my life and I want to honor her however I can, that if I'm not doing those things, it's going to have an effect on my prayer life? I didn't say it, Peter did. If things aren't right at home, they're not right anywhere. Home, the most important human institution God has given us, we've got to make sure our homes are a place where God is preeminent, and that we are following His word and we are obeying His instruction for us. You say, I don't know that it's that important. There you go. I guess God's blessing on your home, your life, isn't that important. Husbands, wives, we have no greater challenge and nothing more important next to our relationship with the Lord than making sure that we are fulfilling our God-given responsibility for you women as a wife toward your husband, and you men as a husband toward your wife. The home, it is where God wants to work. God wants to answer your prayers. But if you look at this and you say, doesn't matter to me, you know what? That guy I live with, he's a bust. So I'm not going to. That woman, she doesn't care whatever I do. It's our relationship with the Lord. We have the responsibility. God has given us the instruction. We've looked at it in Ephesians chapter 5. We've looked at it in Colossians chapter 3. We've seen it in 1 Peter chapter 3. That there's a lot for us to do. We've looked at this as marriage from the... This is how God created the marriage. And this is how the one who gave it to us wants us to maintain that organization, that institution, the home. That's our assignment. That's what we need to be spending so much time with. Why is the relationship between a husband and wife so important? What makes the marriage institution so important? In closing, in Ephesians chapter 5, we find Paul made much reference to Christ and the what? The what? The church. And the significance of why we need to make sure that our marriage is what it ought to be is because God has designed the marriage between a man and a woman, the husband and wife. It is a picture. It is a picture of the relationship between Christ, the head of the church, and the church, born-again believers, the bride of Christ. That's why it's so important we work on our marriages, because of its significance, what God has it the picture of, the right relationship we as believers to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our head, we His bride, His body. Well, I trust these three Sunday evenings that we have looked at have been helpful. as we have looked at marriage from the beginning, where it came from, who's it for, how's it supposed to be operated, how's it to be organized, I trust the Lord will bless. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer, shall we? Again, a reminder, Emily would appreciate all help. Anybody that could stay and help her for a while, working, getting ready for the Awana Carnival on Wednesday night. Father, I pray that you would take these thoughts, use them for your glory. I pray that you would help us to receive the instruction as from you and not from man. So much more could have been said, but we want to move on in other topics. We pray that you would use what has been given to work your works in our hearts and our lives. May we be doers of your word, not just hearers only. Take us safely to our homes. We pray for blessing on getting things set up. May that go well. We thank you in your name. Amen.